For those that don't know, I work for a technology company that provides a lot of technology across a vast portfolio of different things, from printers to handheld computers to operating systems to all kinds of scanning solutions and that type of stuff. And we were having a conversation at work probably about 4 or 5 months ago, and this is when the concept of AI started becoming really popular. AI has been around for a long time, actually, you know, called machine vision, machine learning, that type of stuff. But like everything else, everything comes in full circle. And the interesting thing about a conversation that I overheard was people were saying, well, AI will be able to solve all of our problems. AI will be able to think like humans. Some could be generative, some can write its own code. And I don't know if I could buy all that, but the conversation afterward, I started thinking about this conversation, and there was something else going on in the root there that it was very subtle, but I wanted to, the more I thought about it, I said, that kind of sounds like a trap. And I'm not bashing AI or technology at all. I think some of it could be very good. In this sermonette, we're going to discuss two modern idols and tools at our disposal to help avoid falling into their trappings. As we talked about in the SPS, does idolatry matter to God? I think all of us in God's church probably know the answer to that. It's not a very complicated answer or anything like that. But just to rehearse this a little bit, we're going to be turning into a couple scriptures to see what God really thinks of idolatry. The first place we find idolatry in, there's hints of it in other places, but in full form, where it comes out and says idolatry is bad, is in Exodus 20. So we'll be turning to Exodus 20, and we'll be reading verses 4 through 6. As you're turning there, a couple of facts about, or interesting tab facts about Exodus 20 and this particular commandment about idolatry. It's the second longest commandment outside of the Sabbath. Kind of interesting there. So God must put, not that any of the commandments are lesser or greater than all, we know they're all have massive significance. But it's interesting that it's the second one other than the first one. This commandment consists of 90 words. It's mentioned 53 times in the New King James Bible, Old Testament and Old Testament, New Testament and Old Testament. So as we read this verse, keep a couple things in mind and to consider. First, this commandment protects our special relationship that we have with our Father, God, and with Jesus Christ, as he molds us into his true image. So Exodus 20, verses 4 through 6. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness, anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon me, upon the children, to the third and fourth generations of those that hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. So what is an idol? As we just read, this is something that God takes very seriously. In the book Counterfeit Gods, the author quotes, "An idol is anything more important to you than God. Anything that absorbs your heart and imagination, your mind, more than God. Anything you seek to give you what only God can give you." So, bringing that in a little bit, idolatry can start in your heart, it can be in your mind, and it's anything. It doesn't have to be a graven image, it could be anything, it could be a concept. If it draws you away from God and it's more important to you than God. Unger's Bible Dictionary defines it as the paying of divine honor to any created thing, worship in the form of idealism or abstractions or mental qualities. Just reiterating, but Unger's brings in the physical element of actually worshiping something graven or something like that. We'll get into some of the, we'll see more of that a little bit later. When I used to think of idolatry, it would conjure images of ancient peoples worshiping a wooden stone or image or bowing to the foreign gods. My wife and I took a few trips to Hawaii, and you see that everywhere. You see all these images of these people. Even around here, you go to a Asian food restaurant, sometimes you'll see a god sitting in the corner, the family god or the, whatever it is in their case. So does idolatry, is it only graven images? As we just talked about, it can take many different forms. From worshiping a false god, an object, putting the self or other people before God, putting faith in technology and sciences as humankind's savior. It can be political ideologies. It could be hot current topics. Not that we shouldn't have opinions about it or anything like that, but the trap is there where that political ideology can consume you more than reading the Bible and thinking and meditating on God's ways. Are we too advanced to have idolatry in our society? I know we think so, but is that truly the case? We live in a time of great advancements. There's more technology than what went to the moon. I can ask this thing anything I want. It'll give me the answer. Whether it's right or not, that's a different debatable. But at our fingertips, I remember when I was in high school, if you wanted to check out a book or research something, you had to go to the library. You younger kids probably don't realize it, but you had to go through the card catalog. And, okay, it's in this. You run to the thing and hope somebody didn't grab the book that you're looking for because everybody had the same assignment as you. And nowadays, you just hop on your laptop or your smartphone and, okay, let me log into the library. Oh, there's a digital copy of it. I can research it and write my paper. And if I want to, I don't even have to write it out anymore. I can just talk it into my computer and it'll write it out for me. It's amazing. I got distracted there. So we have this great technology, and a lot of it has resulted in rejecting God in our society. We look to technology versus God. We often thought, or society thinks, that we've moved beyond worshiping God or gods. We no longer have idols. We, being the people of God, we see through this fallacy. We know that it's there. And we read about this through his written word. We live in very deceptive times. Satan is out for each and every one of us. Make no mistake, as his time becomes more short, he is going to throw whatever he can. He deceived a third of the angels. How much easier would it be for us if we're not on guard, especially with, you know, we need God's Holy Spirit and we need to be close to God to guard against that. Otherwise, we would fall right into his trap. So two types of idols that we'll talk about briefly. One is identity. The second is technology and science. We'll take a brief look at each. When we talk about these idols, these things in themselves are not bad. It's what they become to a person what makes them bad, taking the focus off of God. We talk about identity. What is identity? It could be my position at work. It could be my career. It could be causes that I'm passionate about. It could be about politics. It could be about physical appearances. And if we're not careful, if we start thinking about these and it consumes our life to the nth degree and we start neglecting our prayer and our Bible study and start thinking about our identity, that becomes an idol. It may not be wooden. It may not be a stone, but it is an idol, because that's what an idol is, something that you put before God. The second thing we'll briefly talk about is technology and science. Technology, as we've discussed, has greatly improved a lot of our lives, makes things easier. We can, back in the day, I got 12 miles per gallon and I thought it was good. Nowadays, I get 35, 40. And, you know, that was a result of technology. Our smartphones, our computers, all of our appliances. Well, our appliances can be pretty smart, but sometimes I wonder who's the smarter one, the appliances or the person operating it. I don't know. Science, we hear about this a lot. You know, I trust the science. I don't care about anything else. It's the science that matters, and I'm going to follow the science. Well, we've seen recent where science has become an idol to some through medical technology, vaccines, sustainability, earth worship. Oh, you can't have a gas stove because it's going to kill the planet. Even though you plug in that electric stove, it probably takes more energy to power it than that propane or gas that you have. It's, you know, people worshiping the creation, not the creator. That is a form of idolatry. Emerging technologies. I kind of poked fun at AI a little bit, but, you know, I've heard it said, well, AI will write its own code and it doesn't need human intervention. Well, being in technology, I don't see code writing itself. And if it does, there's probably something else behind it that's doing it, but, well, that's a different topic. If we're not careful, technology, that's the trap. I mean, you go into an airport, you walk through an airport these days, people are, you know, they're walking with their devices everywhere, not watching, you know, zombies, basically. It's their idol. And if we're not careful, it can easily ensnare us. I'm not saying technology is bad or anything like that. I love technology, but it can easily distract you from our purpose. And what is our purpose? Being children of God. How do we become God's children? By drawing closer to Him, by worshiping Him, by having our nose in the Bible, by being with other people, by serving each other. And if we're not careful, it will distract us. Turn with me a couple warnings, I believe, from our end times, the society that we live in today. First, we'll turn briefly to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, 2 through 5. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Do we see this today in our society? It's riddled through our society. Verse 3. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. In our society, in this world, we see good is bad and bad is good nowadays. Verse 4, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's the root right there, idolatry. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Well, I believe in a higher power. I just don't believe in God. I've heard that many times. We are warned about this end-time society, and specifically verse 5 describes the power of modern idols, having a form of godliness and denying its power. A couple tips in avoiding idolatry. God has given us many tools, but we'll specifically talk about three tools. How to be on the guard against idolatry and how to combat it in our personal lives, in our daily lives. The first one is true obedience to God. We use His inspired book, His guidebook for humankind, following His commandments, not only in action, but following his commandments, not only in action, but intent. It's not about, we've had the example of, well, I didn't do that, but in the mind, oh, I want to get back to this person. Well, that is breaking commandment there. So we need to look to His word as His inspired on how to live our lives. Second point, true worship of our Creator. Worship Him how He tells us to worship Him, not traditions of men or interpretations of others how we should be doing it. The Bible is very basic, very simple on God gives us how He wants us to worship. It's there. We don't need interpretation from other people telling us this is how you do it. It's there. It's black and white. And if anybody says any otherwise, be on guard. And a final tool where we can avoid idolatry and combat it is put God first in our lives. If we put Him first in our lives, we will be able to catch the nuances as they creep into these temptations. And we need to put our faith, hope, dreams in God, and not in human, may I suggest satanic, created concepts of God. Don't look to a copy, look to the real deal, they say. So summarizing everything up, we explored how God views idolatry, defined it, a couple basic definitions, and a couple elements of modern idolatry. Then we considered a few tools that God's provided for us to ensure we don't fall into His trappings. We'll conclude by you don't have to turn there, but you can if you wish, reading Isaiah 57:13. When you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you, but the wind will carry them away. In other words, God is saying, if you cry out to your idols, they can't save you. They're not a salvation. They're just things. And a breath of wind will blow them away. But he who puts his trust in me, in God, shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. And as we know, His holy mountain is His kingdom.